So we're in John 4, pretty well-known story, the Jacob's Well story. We're going to read from 1 to 15, I think. So it says, "Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink,' for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman from Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.' Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it was that is saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock.' And Jesus said to her, 'Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water.'" Okay. And so just the introduction to this story, it has so much, and, you know, don't have time to cover all of it, but it's just so cool that this place that they're at, it just has so many roots. They're in Samaria, near Sychar. It says, by the field that Jacob gave to Joseph. This goes all the way back to Genesis. This is how old this place is. And it's so cool if you ever study that out, just how God uses the same places, like geological places, over and over and over where he does things. But there's that whole thing, just the roots this place has that they're at. And then there's this little fact that they throw in the first couple of verses, that Jesus is wearied. He's got a long journey. It's during the heat of the day, and it sounds like he's just tired. And it just, again, shows us how here's God, and he really did come as a man, you know. And we just need to those little refreshers remind me, he was a man who got tired and got thirsty and needed breaks, and he submitted himself to all that for us. So there's just a huge deal even in just that reminder how Jesus went through the same things we do. And then there's this whole deal with the Samaritan woman. And there's a lot there, because just because of Jewish pride and because of things that had happened hundreds of years before this time, just how the Samaritans were looked at, okay, it was just, I don't know if I have a good comparison, but there's all this Jewish pride. There's all this pride built around this being a Jew and being part of that nation and being God's chosen people and all this. And here they look at the Samaritans like, how I kind of stood it out, they're kind of looked at as like half-breed, looked down upon, just people who are, and just how they're looked at also is just like they have all this mix of religion. They don't have the Judaism or the big Jewish religion. They have part of it and part of this and part of that, so they just have this mixed stuff, and so they're just so looked down on. And you throw into that, this is a woman, and in this culture, it's also a big deal. They weren't respected, and so it's just... And so it's just the craziest thing for Jesus, of all people, to go and talk to a woman Samaritan, you know, and even acknowledge her, talk to her, even be there. And it's a really big deal. And it's cool, because if you were here last week, I talked about Nicodemus, and he was like the highest of the high. He's like the teacher of Israel. And Jesus has this conversation with him that pretty much leads him to acknowledge or to know that you need Jesus, you know. You need to be born again. And here he goes to in the culture's eyes, the lowest of the low. And his message is the same again. You need the kingdom. You need Jesus. You need a Savior. And so in two chapters here, we cover the highest of the high and the lowest of the low, and Jesus just destroys their culture with the gospel. And that's really cool just to think through that. And so that's the setup for the story. The main point I want to talk about is this living water thing, okay? So we go in verse 7 here, and Jesus goes to this woman, And it sounds kind of weird, but he just says, give me a drink. And just gives her this command. He says, let's see. In verse 9, the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman from Samaria? Because she kind of gets it. She gets the culture, and she understands, and she knows this is a weird deal for him to be doing that. And he comes back with this answer. Okay, verse 10. If you knew the gift of God and who it was saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Okay? So first of all, she doesn't get it. She doesn't understand who he is. She hasn't perceived his glory. Okay, because she's not born again. That was chapter 3. You have to be born again to see the kingdom of God. You can't see it unless you're born again. And so this woman isn't born again, so she can't see who Jesus is. She hasn't had that revelation from the Holy Spirit that this is the Son of God, the Messiah. So she doesn't really understand yet. And he says, if you would just ask, okay, just ask. Not if you do this for me, he didn't put any conditions like if you just get me this water or if you do this for me, if you're to obey this law. He just says, if you just ask, I'd given you living water. And see, here's what she doesn't know. I think, and don't quote me on this, but I think this is true, that these Samaritans, they had like the Torah, the first 5 books of the Old Testament. They kind of had that and some mix of other stuff. They didn't have the whole Old Testament. And so she didn't know the scriptures. But if she did, if she had the Old Testament, if she would have known the scriptures, I really think living water would have meant something to her. Because if you look it up, it's all over the place. All over the place. You've forsaken me, God says this, you've forsaken me, the source of living water. Okay? And there's just a lot about water, a lot of symbolism, a lot about living water, and about God being the source of it. It's a constant deal. And so So again, she doesn't get it. She just doesn't understand. 11, she says, the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with. The well's deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than Jacob? In 13, Jesus says, he comes back again with this answer. Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. He's trying to say, I'm not talking about just water, but he's making this point. If you drink from this water, it's just normal. It'll satisfy you for a little bit. Here in a couple hours, you're going to be thirsty again. You're going to need more water. And that's the rest of your life. 14, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And so, I mean, here's just the deal. Here's the deal with that. Without going to all the details, it's just that Jesus has a symbolic water. He has water to give that's going to satisfy. And any other water I try to drink from or you try to drink from, it isn't going to satisfy. It'll quench you for this long, and you're going to be thirsty again. And it's the same deal with sin. It's the same deal with religion. It's the same deal with just trying to obey the law. It's the same deal with relationships. Anything we try to source from satisfies us for this long, okay, this long. And it leaves us wanting more every time. Bad things, good things, religious things, all of it. If it's not Jesus, it isn't going to satisfy fully. He's the only one. He's the only source of living water. See, and here, and it's so crazy that we continue. I mean, this is just everyday life with the sin nature. I continue to think that eventually, if I keep trying these other things to get joy, I'm still deceived. I think it's eventually going to get me there. It's going to get me this joy that I'm looking for. And we all know this. We all know that lesson, that we're all looking for satisfaction and joy. And we all feel this emptiness in our heart that we're always looking for, and we're always trying to fill it. And it's just, you can have a conversation with anybody and figure out what they're looking for to try to fill that, you know. And I'm just as deceived as anybody still. And this is why sin's progressive, by the way. You know, that's young people need to learn this, okay? Because we get hooked into sin. Because we think, well, you know, I'm just going to try it once. How many times have we heard that? If you just try it once. But sin is progressive. That means the lie you're really hearing, if you're tempted with something, no matter what it is, the lie you're really hearing is that's going to satisfy you. Okay, that's going to give you some kind of satisfaction. That's going to give you some kind of joy. Or it's going to, it's just this lie. It's going to give you something. And here's what happens every time. We try that thing out. It doesn't end up satisfying us. It actually leaves us hungry still. We still have that longing, and probably even stronger. And so our minds are like, man, that didn't satisfy me. I need to go to the next thing, okay? And maybe this next thing will satisfy me. So we get put in these whole string of temptations chasing what we think might satisfy us. This is why, you know, why with men, lust can get so twisted by the enemy, you know, because it starts with a simple thing, and then that didn't satisfy, so I go to the next, and 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 then we have a whole, you know, business of selling, you know, lustful things, because people are constantly looking. The same thing if you have this lust to buy things, you know, I think if I just buy this one thing, it's going to satisfy me, and then it doesn't. I buy it, and I enjoy it for a day, and then it's like, what can I buy now? And I go to the next thing, and then I keep thinking, I need this. If I only had this, if I had this house or this car. And, man, sin is progressive because it doesn't satisfy. That's why it's progressive. But here's the crazy thing, that we still chase it. Okay, 100% of the time, sin in the flesh has never satisfied, and I still chase it. Okay, and it's because somewhere deep in my heart, I think eventually it will. See, I'm just surrounded by lies all the time, every day, that this thing will satisfy me and God won't. I think it's the number one lie on the whole planet. This, whatever it is, this other thing will satisfy you and God won't. That's why God sounds boring. You know, that's why, I know we have these thoughts that are so not true, but God's boring. God's, you know, he's going to let you down. He's going to leave you hanging. It's just all this stuff, and we're still chasing all these little things. And so Satan or our flesh or whatever it is promises that all these things will quench our thirst, and they never do. And those few times when we give God just a chance to quench our thirst, he always will. And I only know, here's the thing, I only know one way to really break this lie, because we're all in this pattern in some way, I think, being in sin. It's only by faith, okay? Because even today, I haven't known this some and walked it out some. I still have days where I think this sounds really good and God doesn't. And everything in my flesh and everything in my mind tells me that. This is good. God doesn't sound too good right now. And the only way I can ever battle these lies every day and really continue to want God is by faith. By faith, by trusting what God says about it. It's the only way. I've got to hear a story like this and really, really, really believe that God's the only source of living water. Living water is what I'm chasing after. And he's the only source. I'm only going to find it in him. And Satan continues to offer up all these things, says, this is going to, you know, satisfy. This will have some kind of life in it. This is going to fill you, you know. And it never, I just got to know by faith, God says that won't. I believe what he says. That looks really good, sounds really good. I even think it will, but God says it won't. I have to have faith in what God says. God says this doesn't, and he does. And so, it's the number one lie I think you're all dealing with. That's my opinion. So, anyway, what do we have next? So he says that. He says, this water that I give you in him, RSV. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. 15, and the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. So she's starting to get it, okay? Kind of starting to get it, and she asks for this living water. And Jesus' answer, I just think, is so great. He says to her, Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. Okay, so he goes through this whole thing, you know, and because the Holy Spirit's working on her, she gets it a little bit that, okay, there's this water I'm lacking, there's something that's going to satisfy me that I'm not getting and I haven't ever had, okay, I'll ask for it. It's like she finally gives in, and then Jesus, he just doesn't just give it to her, okay, that's right away. He has to say this deal first, because what he's doing is he's showing her, hold on a second, he's like, let me show you what you've been drinking from. Let me show you what you've been chasing for a while to get that living water. Because he wants to convict her. You know, he wants her to repent of the things she's been chasing and then really accept living water. Not just to asking, just hoping to get something else. He wants her to have a changed life. And so he brings in this word, go call your husband here, because he knows what she's going to say. And she says in 17, the woman answered him, I have no husband. And Jesus says, you're right in saying that. I have no husband. For you've had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. So what you said is true. Okay, I see what he did. She's been chasing her deal. We all have our different deals. Her deal's relationships. She probably got into her first, and I'm just speculating, she probably got into her first relationship looking for, not for, you know, to be able to give love and what marriage is supposed to be and whatever. She went looking for something, for life and satisfaction, for to feel that place in her heart. She went to a relationship, and it didn't work, so she went to another. And it didn't work, so she went to another, and five times she's been married. And now, and Jesus is like, you've tried this five times, and it's never worked. And you're still searching, and you're in a relationship now, and it's still not working for you. Do you get it? You know, and I just think that that's such an awesome answer because it deals with the issue just so quickly. And the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on the mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." 21, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." 25, "The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you and am he." And so, okay, that meant something to her. She knows, she's heard of the Messiah. She knows that there's a Messiah coming, a Savior. And he's pointing to the fact that it's more than just saving. It's giving you life. It's more than just forgiving. It's giving you something you don't have. It's filling those longing places in your heart. And you know, he's the source, the living water. He makes this point that he's the Messiah because he wants her to get that living water isn't just something he's going to hand her. You know, that living, he needs her to understand living water is something that you're going to source from Jesus. He's got to be the source. It's not like a gift I hand to you and you have. It's like he's constantly pouring it out and you need to constantly be drinking from him. That's why we still struggle after salvation, okay? Because he's the source of living water, and I need to be constantly taking a drink. But here's the cool deal, because you can tie so much of this into Old Testament. Go to Jeremiah 2 with me real quick, because I want you to see what I really think he's getting at, okay? I usually don't have you turn with me, but I really want you to see it if you can. Jeremiah 2, close to the middle of your Bible. Jeremiah 2, if you look at 11, it says, "Has the nation changed its God, even though there are no gods?" Then it says, "But my people have changed their glory for what does not profit." Okay? And then look at 13. Here's the big deal. Here's, I think, what he has in the back of his mind the whole time he's talking. "For my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they've hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Okay? Two evils have been done. First of all, they've forsaken him, the source, the only source, or the fountain of living water. Okay? He's the only fountain to drink from that's going to give living water, and they've forsaken him. And what they've done in that place, instead of drinking from living water, they've made their own source of water. What's a cistern? It's like a thing to hold water in, okay? And so they've made their own cisterns, and the thing about these cisterns are they're broken. They can't hold water, and that's exactly what every one of us have done, okay? In our sin, we've forsaken God who will satisfy us, and we've tried to make our own ways to satisfy, and the ways we've made have never, ever, ever been able to hold water. We can pour as much water as we have or ever get or find anything. We can pour water in these cisterns, and they leak. And it's always going to leave me needing more water, needing more water, needing more. They're broken cisterns, okay? And it's all because I've forsaken him, the only fountain or source of living water. And so it's the same thing we've all done. It's the same thing this woman at the well done. So back in John 4, pretty awesome what she does here. To wrap this up, 27 says, just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? And 28, so the woman left her water jar, okay, and went away into town and said to the people, come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? Okay, it just throws in that little deal that the woman left her water jar. I think that's a really big deal, okay? If you tie it into Jeremiah and this whole deal about broken cisterns and having these water containers that don't hold water and you know, clinging to other things to fill, and then we have this little just side note that she starts to get it and she leaves her water jar behind and she goes and starts to tell people about the Christ. And that's just so symbolic. I just think it is. It's so symbolic of, we all have our water jars that don't hold water. They all are broken. And here's this woman who goes through this deal with Jesus, asks him for living water, realizes that she's been in sin, and she leaves her water jar behind, and she goes. Okay, and that's what we all got to do. The people who I see get delivered from sin the most are people who do that. They leave behind what they've been drinking from. Okay, they don't hang on to both. They don't try to get living water from God and hang on to their old water jar. There's got to be something where you realize this water jar is never going to fill me. What I'm drinking from does not work. I got to leave it behind. I think it's so cool that she left her water jar behind. That's repentance. That's symbolic of repentance. Really getting it. Really saying that, God, what you say is true. This doesn't fill me. You know, that's what it is. I don't need it anymore. I don't need all these other things I've been chasing. I don't need these relationships. Or I don't need this, you know, internet or this money or all these things. I've been wrong, God. That's what leaving your water jar behind is. If you guys know John 7:37, or 37 and 38, Sam quotes it quite a bit, where he says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Okay, this is what happens when people drink living water. Not only are they satisfied, they rivers of living water come out of them. It doesn't only change them, it changes the people around them. That's what happens when you're really drinking, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. You get life that satisfies, and you give out life, okay? It's meant to flow through you, and that's exactly what happens here. If we finished the whole story in John 4, let's just skip down to verse 39. It says, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with him, and he stayed 2 days, and many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, it's no longer because of what you've said that we believe, for we've heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. See, that's what happened to her. She believed, she got living water, and out of her came streams of living water, and many came to believe just because of her testimony. A sinner, woman, Samaritan, who didn't have any knowledge of the Christ other than that he's coming, and all of a sudden she's going and telling people, this is the Messiah, I think this is the Christ, and many come to believe because she got living water, okay? Wasn't how much knowledge she had or her place or how people looked at her or respected her. She evangelized a group of people because she had living water, and it was coming out of her, okay? So that's the end of my lesson. Let me leave you with this. Turn to Isaiah. I have you all over the place today. But Isaiah 55, everyone look at it with me, just three verses. If you're like I have been and like we all have been, tired of chasing, looking for something time after time, keep thinking that the same sin's going to fill me, I keep struggling with the same thing because I think it's going to satisfy me, fail, you know, all the time. If you're like that, here's your lesson, okay? You need living water. 55:1-3 says, come, everyone who thirsts, okay? People who feel like that, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Okay? 2, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? And why do you labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me and hear that your soul may live. Okay? That's what you need, okay? That your soul would live. Come get what's truly satisfying, okay? Living water from the Christ. Amen. Father, I pray that. Pray you convict us, just like the woman at the well. Convict us of the things we've been chasing. Show us in our hearts. Pray that we'd be able to leave our water jugs behind, the things we've been drinking from. I pray that we'd admit that our cisterns are broken. I pray that we'd acknowledge to you that we need to source living water from you alone. And I pray that you'd show us to do that, Father. Thank you for taking care of everything. Thank you for paying it for all on the cross. We look to you and what you did for us there. In Jesus' name, amen.